That's the moment when you realize that your onboarding process is complete.
It's done, yeah. When you understand all the acronyms.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. I'm Pablo, and today I'm here with my friend Alex to talk about the onboarding process. We are not HR experts or anything like that, but both of us have been onboarded in different companies and helped to onboard developers to the companies we work for. So yeah, let's have a chat about it. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing just fine.
So let's start from the point of view of a new joiner.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you like to find when you join a company?
If I would summarize it into one sentence, I think I would say that I would prefer to be guided. So I don't like to be alone, especially when it's a new environment. I know zero people there. It's always nice to be guided one way or another. The only wish, and the rest I could figure out myself, I think.
I see people divides in kind of in two groups, right? The ones that I really like to get the documentation, get the readmes, and get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other group is the type of people that really likes to the human interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they like to pair program through the tasks, even the configuration tasks or anything. And I even found people that find readme files boring.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the documentation is really good, they prefer to go through it with other people or other person. I guess you're a mix of of those two, right?
Yeah. So I could do many things just on my own, but it's important for me to know the rules. I don't care if someone tells me like via human interaction or they just written somewhere.
Yeah.
Company policies, guides, and so on. So this would also work for me if it's well written and up to date information.
Yeah.
Every company has style, has culture, right? And it's unique for each company. And I would prefer to fit to this. So I need to know all these policies and all these rules that the company has. But how it's expressed, it doesn't matter that much. How's it about you?
It's not clear either. It's like I like human interaction because it helps with my expectations and sometimes my anxiety, even imposter syndrome, right? When you join a new company, you think that they are expecting a lot from you and you are not sure if you're up to the expectations, and talking to real people and assess what's going on is always nice. I also really like to have my own time. I can go through the readme files, documentation, set up my environment and have my, let's call it, focus time to do my tasks. So yeah, probably a mix of both.
Would you like to have a checklist to know upfront what is expected from you? Let's say the first day you need to do this, this, and that, right? The first week, these are your goals for the first week. Of course, you don't have to achieve all of them, but it's nice to have at least some roadmap.
Yeah, it's also nice for me. That's something that I found in some companies, and it's great to have, as you mentioned, a roadmap of your next 15 days or first month.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a checklist where you can find, okay, the first week we expect you to set up your environment, have everything up and running, and maybe create your first PR. And you already have a task assigned that was detailed by someone in your team, is well-defined and is well-described. If you go through this checklist, you can see that you have a couple of meetings in the next week with, I don't know, team lead and the product owner, something like that. And in the second week, you have like a company overview and you are going to get introduced to X and Y. So yeah, having a well-structured checklist, it's really nice because you know what to expect. It can impact the motivation a lot. Good onboarding is crucial.
In this case, you also feel that you're welcome there, right? It's not just, okay, this is your workplace, this is your computer, here you go, please open your pull request in 2 days.
And what about these days, I think it's quite common practice to have a onboarding buddy or like a person to go to if something goes wrong or if you have any kind of question. What do you think about that?
I think it's a pretty cool idea, but it's the concept which is hard to cook sometimes. Like you have to make it right. Otherwise it doesn't work well. It might even bite you in a way.
Yeah.
So what is your body experience?
In general, I had really good experiences with my onboarding buddies. I also had to play the role a couple of times. And I have the feeling that we as a developers don't have the right set of skills by default.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that we are not well trained to do. And you learn to do it by doing the job. But no one provides you with a nice guide, like how to be a good onboard buddy or something like that.
Yeah, where to pay attention, how to help people, how to feel comfortable, I don't know, not to be afraid to ask questions because of this imposter syndrome or something.
So I think that's more on the buddy side, right? Like being on top of things. Yeah, having a good onboarding buddy is also a bless.
I had buddy and I was buddy. I could mention one thing which I learned by making mistakes is that we as a human, we cannot read someone's mind. And if new joiner is doing something on his workplace, it seems the person is busy. I don't feel comfortable just see behind his shoulders what this person is doing. So I see that there's a work happening. I won't go and ask and disturb because I don't feel it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And there were cases when this person was having issues, but I didn't know because this person didn't ask me for help.
Yeah.
That's why as a buddy, I develop a rule. So besides anything, this rule is super important. Is that if you have any problem, just come to me as a buddy and say, I have this problem. Please, could you help me? Because I cannot read your mind. I cannot know that you actually struggle right now.
Yeah.
Because for me, like from my perspective, from my workplace, it looks like you're working on something and I don't want to disturb you.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem could be anything, work-related, not work-related, anything. But it would be more productive for both of us if in case of any issue, you just come. Of course, I'm trying to spot all the signs of possible issues when someone is stuck or so.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just don't know.
Another thing that I think is important is for companies to let the buddies know that onboarding people is part of their job. If during your buddy time, let's say first month, you don't deliver as many features as before, it's totally fine because part of your job is onboarding that developer. And doing a proper onboarding, it means that that developer is going to be productive sooner, and that's going to be a multiplier. So it's way more important to make the rest of the team productive than you being super productive. And I think that's something that sometimes companies don't stress enough.
Body work should not be treated as extra task.
Yeah.
On top of your working hours, so to say. It's part of your work process.
Probably your main task at that point.
Yeah. It doesn't require 100% of your time.
No, of course not. But yeah, you should be ready to jump.
Yeah, it should not have like lowest possible priority.
Yeah.
The question, how do you know that everything is going fine?
The checklist, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You need feedback somehow, right?
Yeah.
That's another really important point. I don't know, the ways I know to receive feedback is setting regular meetings with new joiner. And ask explicitly for feedback and how are you doing, any blockers, things like that. The other one is asking the new joiner to be proactive and he being the one providing feedback. I don't know. What do you think? Which one do you prefer?
I think it could be a mixture. It's super hard to predict. It also depends on personality, right? Some people, they are very proactive and you just sit and they explain everything what they want or what kind of problems they have. And some people are not that active, so you have to be the one who asks questions.
Yeah.
A good mixture of everything is fine.
Yeah, it's like everything. Sometimes things are natural and it just happens. But in case that it doesn't happen, you need some structure in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can miss the feedback.
Yeah, and it's also important to stay flexible. So like you mentioned, yeah, you need this to have the checklist. You need this regular meetings and so on, but you don't have to do it, all the things, right? And these meetings could stop after first 3 weeks because your body is feeling absolutely comfortable. There is no issue for many days already. So that's it. There is no need to have this meeting. It's not obligation for everyone. It's just a nice tool to help with onboarding.
Yeah, it's like with pairing when someone is joining. I tend to offer pairing with new journeys on the setup, so help them to set up their machine or the project. Some people, they know very well how to do it, and they go through the docs and they have everything up and running quickly, so they don't need that help. If they don't need it, they don't need it.
You know, I would feel uncomfortable if someone would sit next to me while I don't know, install stuff on my machine and configure it.
Sometimes I like it. I'm okay with someone sitting by my side and I'm just talking out loud what I'm doing. Like, okay, I'm going to run this command. I'm going to install Postgres database. Okay, it's running. We need to wait 1 minute. And now next thing I'm going to do is like, I'm going to try to launch the server and see what happens. Oh, it's broken. I'm probably missing some dependency. So yeah, I'm totally fine with that. So I think it depends on personality.
I would go and ask for help, but I would prefer to do everything according to just README or whatever documentation is available, mm-hmm. but do it on my own. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. One quite common thing is that documentation is not fully up to date. So usually during the onboarding process is also a right time to update documentation. So next one, don't have the same issue that you had. That's a classic, right?
That's a great advice for anyone who joins the company to overcome this imposter syndrome stuff and deliver something in your first days.
True. Update README.
Yeah, update README and you open your first pull request.
Yeah.
And you did the first contribution, which is improve something. So
yeah,
it's a win already.
Yeah, I always do that because I think it's almost impossible to have the README super up to date. And yeah, something changed in the last week or in the last month and is not reflected in there. And sometimes even understanding, right? Because I could be the one who wrote the README and it was super clear to me, but probably is not so clear for the next developer and he has something to add, and that's always very, very welcome.
Yeah.
If you want to land a quickly appear, that's that's a good one. One thing that I always struggle with, more than with the setup or the code base and things like that, is the business knowledge, the domain. Because when you join a new company, usually the business is totally different from the previous one, mm-hmm. and they have tons of concepts that you are not familiar with. I find tricky to find the business experts and to extract their knowledge and to get to know how the company make the money, how the company get in touch with new customers, how are the processes, things like that. I don't know if that's because in some places developers are not supposed to get super involved on those things, mm-hmm. but I think it's still super important to know how the business work and why you're doing your job, why you are coding. And yeah, sometimes you don't need to, if you really understand the business, sometimes you can save time of coding because you realize that functionality doesn't even need to be written.
Yeah, right. Of course, it depends on the case, depends on size of the company, size of the business.
Of course.
When you just join, it might be the amount of information could be overwhelming. From new joiner perspective, it's important to understand that you cannot digest everything even in your first month.
Yeah.
Even if you would study it every day, 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. it's impossible. So just take your time, maybe focus on the things slowly, just take your task and go deeper, not just try to implement what the task is about, but also invest some time to understand the domain around this task.
Mm-hmm.
Step by step, you could understand the whole company domain better. But from the company perspective, it would be great to have some kind of workshops or introduction meetings from experts on each topic.
Yeah, something like an onboarding path
mm-hmm.
for the domain of the company. And yeah, workshops work great. I've been in places where they have workshops for specific business areas and they record them. So that's even better because then you can replay these workshops and mm-hmm. try to understand the concepts again and again. Because yeah, sometimes someone that has a good knowledge of how things works, they explain it to you, but you get half of it and you need to go over it again and again.
How you personally discover something? So you don't know something, or you feel that you don't understand certain aspects of certain subdomain, how you discover this as a new joiner, I mean?
As a developer, I tend to go to the code base and try to understand the rules in there, right? So go to the database schema and see the relations, and you see, okay, so this customer is related to this process here through this. This is a many-to-many relation, so this is related somehow, and then you keep going. And after that, still not clear to me, I usually go to business expert and ask, okay, this is my understanding of this system. Does it match with your understanding, or I'm totally lost?
That's interesting, because I would probably go to someone, like to a human being, first, like teammate, for example, and ask to explain this in simple words. Like, give me this introduction into this domain. Before looking into the source code, I would just ask for a rough description of what is happening there. And only then I will go and try to apply what I receive from this person, try to understand the code, having this knowledge in my head.
I used to do that, but I found that, at least for me, if I make the effort to try to understand a new concept before asking, then when I ask, I already have some background in my brain. And it's like, I already made the effort, and some of the concepts I got quite close to the idea. So once they explain it to you, it's like your brain does this click thing, and you get it super fast. If you do it, asking from the very beginning, is like you are watching a film, and sometimes you are not paying enough attention. You are not involved enough because you didn't put any effort on it. You don't go so deep into the explanations. But probably that's a personal thing.
We use different patterns, different techniques to dig basically the same knowledge. But it's really interesting. So different approaches to basically achieve the same goal in the end.
It happens to me also with issues with code. So sometimes I'm stuck with a coding problem. And instead of going straight to another developer and ask, my approach usually is, okay, I have no idea how to continue here. I'm stuck, but I'm going to spend, I usually go with Pomodoro, so 25 minutes more in this thing. If after the next one I'm still stuck, then I'm going to ask. I found that if I put some extra effort in something, then it's easier to me to overcome the problem and to understand better the explanations that I receive. I don't have a good explanation of why, but it works for me. So yeah, with business concepts is the same for me. I need to, almost with everything, I need to put some effort on it so I get more involved, and then I'm more open to listen to explanations.
So it's like IKEA furniture. You know,
there's psychological IKEA.
You're attached to this furniture mob just because you assembled it.
It's like, now I really need to understand this thing. I spend enough time on it.
Yeah. My problem when I join a company, a project, whatever, it's hard for my brain to collect and understand and keep inside all the new terms.
Oh, yeah.
It's somehow super, super important in order to understand the domain, in order to understand the problem, and especially come up with some solutions to some issues. You need to understand entities. You need to understand the things that you're trying to work on, right? And sometimes people use acronyms or use the terms that I don't understand. And then it sounds like they use the language that I know, but I have no idea what they're talking about. And this is a huge problem for me. I try to keep notes sometimes just for myself. What are your tricks to solve? Do you even have this issue?
Yeah, I do. Of course, I do have that issue. And I'm sometimes different. So you have a concept that you think that you understand, and you go to talk to a different person from a different department, and they start to talk about something that you have no idea what they are talking about. And in the end, it's exactly the same concept with a different name. They use a synonym. So my approach these days is to try to keep a glossary or something like that. So my first month in a new company, I try to take notes of the terms that I don't know, and I try to find the definition. It would be great if the company already has something like that in place. I saw it in some companies that they try to keep a glossary with different terms and the synonyms for the different departments and even the acronyms. Acronyms is, yeah, for people like us that are not native English speakers, can be super tricky because it changes from company to company and from country to country.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, after some time, you find yourself using acronyms and it's like, oh, I'm really against this thing, but now I know what it means and I'm using it everywhere.
That's the moment when you realize that your onboarding process is complete.
It's done, yeah. When you understand all the acronyms.
Yeah. So maybe we could switch an angle a little bit. So we talked mm-hmm. about general onboarding, the buddy system, technical setup, and how it could be done using different approaches, the knowledge system and how this knowledge could be transferred, technical knowledge, business domain knowledge. Maybe you could have some tips how the things could be improved. Let's say if we focus on technical setup, so you got your desktop, laptop, whatever machine, what are the ways to quickly set up as fast as possible? You're ready to actually do some. You open your first pull request with the README fix.
One thing that I found really useful, different companies, is to have everything Dockerized.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to install anything in your machine. You don't have to deal with configuration. Everything is in the Docker image, Docker compose files. So probably you have a script to set up everything in the container and another one to run everything. So that's usually a no-brainer. Even if you don't know much about Docker or containers or anything like that, if it's documented in the README, it's no-brainer. You just run a command and everything is up and running. You run another command and your tests are running. From my point of view, that's the ideal setup. Then if you want to go wild and do whatever you want in your local machine, you are free to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you have like a standard setup that works, let's say, out of the box.
So if we abstract it a little bit, then I would say it would be about automation. So the setup process should be automated as much as possible. You don't type all these commands and these commands different to for each repository.
Yeah.
It's awesome when it's just one command similar to all repositories.
Yeah.
The tooling could be Docker, could be anything.
I said Docker because the one that I'm more familiar with, but yeah, could be anything.
There should be consistency in this tooling, right? And automation. This is important. So you don't have to treat every project in this company as something unique with its own unique rules.
Of course, yeah. If you have different rules for different projects, the context switching is enormous, right? Someone said, I don't know who, programming is all about consistency.
Totally agree.
Yeah, same goes for repositories and onboarding and everything.
What is your opinion on tooling? I know that in some companies, people insist on certain tools.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have to use this specific IDE or you pick between like from these two IDEs or editors, whatever.
Yeah.
Like some tools you have to use, it's just unavoidable. But tools like editors and operating systems and these kind of things, are you fine with the situation when it's mandatory to use certain
things?
No.
I'm not fine with that.
Same here.
I like to use my IDE and the operative system that I pick. So yeah, I don't like when I'm forced to use a specific IDE or anything like that. But I understand that companies have to have a standard way of doing mm-hmm. things. So one approach that I like is, okay, this is the company-supported way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have scripts or configuration for, I don't know, X IDE. And if you want to use it, yeah, your life probably is going to be easier because we will provide you with all this support.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to use it, yeah, feel free to use whatever you want. And
but then you're on your own, right? If you have any issues, we cannot help you.
Yeah, but that's also fine, right? If you pick an IDE, it's because you are comfortable with that one and mm-hmm. you know how to configure it and you know how to do your job with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Until it opens, I don't know, security breach somewhere, then everything is fine.
It's same with the Dockerized environment that I mentioned before. This is the way of setting up a project. It's supported. It's the standard way. It's the way we do things. if you still want to install all the libraries in your local machine and not use containers, feel free to do it, but you're on your own. If you create a new project, you should follow the convention. So you still have to create a container for the new environment and so on, even if you don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on that topic.
Yeah, which leads to this conventions idea that mm-hmm. it's for company with more than two people. It's usually beneficial to have these conventions, to have these patterns, how people communicate, how they set up their development environments, how they run things. Because these conventions, if you have them, then it's easier to automate things. It's more predictable. The same goes with the engineering best practices.
Yeah.
It's up to every company to decide what exactly the best practice is,
mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have them and have them documented one way or
another. I agree.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, they are not set in stone, right? You can challenge the rules.
Yeah.
The thing is, let's take an example. A classic one is a linter.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, let's say, we are talking about Ruby, so you have RuboCop, for mm-hmm. example. And you have a bunch of rules in there, and you don't like one of them. So it's totally fine to propose a change. What you cannot do is just go on your own and change it without letting the rest know about it, because then mm-hmm. it's not consistent anymore. But if you really don't like a rule and you have a good, strong case about that, and you reason why, and most of the team agree, so it's a democracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's fine to change the rule. It's totally fine. Same goes with any convention. Like sometimes I saw some teams that it looks like, okay, this is the rule that has been here from day one and no one can change it.
Mm-hmm.
The requirements change, team shape change, challenges change. So it's fine to change conventions, but you need some kind of processes also to change the convention. You need agreements and you need everybody on board. It's hard in some places, but that should be part of the job of some high-level developers.
Yeah, and this leads, again, to consistency.
Of course.
Which is important.
Yeah.
To summarize, the onboarding process is important. It's up to every company to decide what are the steps. Purpose of the onboarding process, that all people who join the company, they should feel comfortable. They should not feel that they are lost in the information, which is floating around in all the tools, all the services, and everything. They should know that there is someone, at least one person, who can always help, answer the questions, point in the right direction, and support one way or another. Regarding the technical setup, it's important to keep consistency in the tooling, best practices, automate things as much as possible, because it saves time for everyone. And again, it also supports consistency. It's impossible to automate things if every project is absolutely unique. The good ideas could be the buddy system. Again, it might depend on the company, but having a buddy for new joiner is always nice, because then you don't feel that you're alone. You know that at least there is someone who can always help and open for you to help. This also comes with some challenges, but they are nice to solve challenges. And there are already established patterns how these challenges could be solved.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email at codeandbeyond@protonmail.com. You will also find the address in the show notes. If you are listening to our show on Spotify, don't forget to leave us a rating. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.